Blog Talk Radio.
It's almost time.
You right there with the pretzel. Time to sit down.
Cruise, man. Yeah.
Hey, you going to the concession stand. You going to the bathroom. Come back. The show's about to start.
Got my boys. We out here ready. We about to be some high-flying, high-slamming, slammer-jammer, three-point shooting between the legs, behind your back, through your legs, on your neck. Hey, everybody, if you guys can get in your seats, I'm going to sing the national anthem.
Ready.
It's time to... I put it down the babies, put down the pepperoni.
Let's go!
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, game time!
Well, folks, welcome to another Parents Culture Parents Network Blog Talk Radio Show. I'm your host, Emily Scott. And as always, like I tell you each and every time, I'm going to promise you another wonderful show. I'm going to promise you a show that I can't say it enough, folks. You're going to need to go ahead and take some very copious notes on this one here and really think about some things as we move forward into this episode here on the Parents Culture Parents Network. Because in this episode, our guest is going to reveal some things and share some things with you that he has experienced, seen firsthand, talked about, wrote about over the last few years, some things that really and truly may be an eye-opener for you. So if you overlook it, if you ignore it, if you decide that, hey, no, that's not the truth, by all means, we always welcome you to call in and join in on the conversation at any given time, 917-889-8095. I'll say that number again, 917-889-8095. And I'd love to have you join our conversation. I'd love to have you in on the conversation to share your insights on this particular topic, what we're going to discuss this evening. Because parents, as I always tell you, here's an opportunity for you to get some firsthand information. Here's some opportunity for you to bond and mentor with like-minded parents. Here's an opportunity for you just to get ahead of the situation as your child moves forward in the college recruiting process, because that's what we're all about here on the Parents Culture Parents Network, folks. That's what we are truly about here on the Parents Culture Parents Network. You know, our motto is help us help you. And we're not able to help you if we don't know that you're going through the process. You know, I go out to different venues, I show my face, I try to get some literature, flyers out, things like that, pass out a few cards here and there. Hey, I just put the information out there. I'm not out there with my hand out trying to, get anybody to, you know, hey, take me off or do whatever. I'm just out here trying to give back and share some of the insight and some of the knowledge that I have received over the years with working with various parents, and it has actually grown to working with various parents around the country. So initially it started out just working with a handful of parents here in my local area, and now it has branched out to sharing our ideals, views, and concepts with other parents around the country. We have adopted a little slogan there called GAME. GAME, 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 GAME. We're guiding parents, we're assisting parents, we're mentoring parents, and we're elevating parents to the next level. If you don't understand the game, then trust me, you've missed out on a whole lot. Well, at this point, I normally go to my man, Mr. Keith Wright, and let him do his little piece for me, but for whatever reason, it's not showing up on my board today, and I'm not really liking that idea. And I'm kind of feeling, as the young folks would say, I'm kind of feeling a certain kind of way or something like that, however they put that. And I've been having some troubles here with my switchboard here lately, and it's causing me some concerns, because I like to share this little piece that put out here. I titled it, The College Experience. And, you know, somebody may be in the background saying, well, why don't you go ahead and sing it? No, I wouldn't do that. I'm not going to embarrass myself by no means. But if I can't find it and it's not popping up on the switchboard, then I have no other choice but we're going to move forward. I'm going to try to find it. And it doesn't appear to be available to me at this point, so guess what? Well, folks, I can't find it, and so I'm going to move on. Well, what are we going to talk about here today? We're going to talk about an article I came across from a very near and dear friend. And this gentleman, I've known him for a number of years. First met him just through association as he came out to various events that I was attending during the time I was watching Mike play. And from there, turn around and realized that we had a few other mutual friends. And from there, we just connected, and he realized the things that we were trying to do here with the Parents Coach of Parents Network. He started supporting us, tremendously, and insight and value that he brings to the table each and every time that he supports one of our workshops is awesome. And I can't thank him enough. But we went on from there, and as I said, we continued to stay in touch and, share different things and talk about different children around the area. But when I seen him come out with this article had been a topic that had been on my mind for quite some time. And it's funny because just last weekend, I was talking with a parent that her sons had ran track for me some years ago, and she brought up that very same subject. And what am I talking about? I'm talking about high school transfers. High school transfers, folks. When I talk about high school transfers, I'm talking about high school transfers from an athletic standpoint. Not just a child transferring just for the sole purpose of transferring because he wants to get a better education. I'm talking about high school transfers from a athletic standpoint. So, this evening, folks, we have the pleasure of having my man, my brother, my guy, Mr. Larry Rubama, on the air with us. And Larry's going to share some information with us on who he is and what he's been doing and all the other great things that make up this great guy named Larry Rubama. Larry, are you on?
I am, Mike. Thanks, man. You did me too well, man. You did me. I don't have a lot to live up to now.
you do what you do.
Okay. Well, look. I like you said, we met many years back, and you've done a wonderful thing in terms of trying to let kids know about what it means to get to college and how to get to college and how to stay in college. And a little bit about background about me, as you said, is went to school, grew up in the Washington, D.C. area, earned a track scholarship to Ohio University in Athens, Ohio, with the dream to become a sports reporter. Had a pretty good track career, was all-conference 2 years in the Mid-American Conference at Ohio University. Went to grad school down at University of South Carolina and got into print writing. I started out was actually a broadcast news major in for both TV and radio, but really honed my skills into reporting. First job I got was up in Syracuse, New York, where I covered Syracuse University basketball, football, when Lawrence Moulton was up there playing basketball, and Adrian Autry, and I got to cover them for about 3 years. Then I got a job working in Fort Wayne, Indiana, where I covered the Minnesota Twins farm team. In fact, Michael Kadire was on that team. I covered him in his first year of Major League Baseball. And then I also covered Purdue basketball and Purdue football, which included Drew Brees' freshman and sophomore year at Purdue, as well as the big dog in basketball. And then I got a job here back, and I can't believe it's been that long, in 1999, a chance to come back to the East Coast, and I've been here since 1999 covering a variety of different things, but mostly high school sports, football, basketball, track and field, cross country, tennis. I cover the softball game today. And I do it because I have a passion for sports. I try to tell every kid who has a dream of being a professional athlete, if you can't make it, you can write about it, and you can have a great career in this business, and it's a chance to be able to still be a part of sports even when you know you're washed up like I am now. And so I get a chance now to meet some of the best athletes in the world, of, you know, Bruce Smith, Michael Vick, Allen Iverson, Alonzo Mourning. I've interviewed all those guys, including ones that are up now, Cam Chancellor, Percy Harvin, the Upton brothers, David Wright. I mean, the list goes on and on. Everybody knows what kind of talent we have in Southampton Roads, and I just consider it a blessing to be able to cover these fine athletes. And one of the things I try to do is tell their stories, whether it be good or bad. I want to tell the good, but a lot of times the athletes don't do the right things, and I end up having to write about the bad as well. But I just think, like I said, every kid has a story, and I feel it's my job to be able to tell their story the best way I know how, and being a former athlete, a Division I athlete, I think I can kind of connect with the athletes, and I think they tell me things that they might not tell other news sources. And I just want to be the voice for the athlete, and that's why I like touching on different issues. As you brought up the one about transfers, I want to just touch on different issues that maybe some people just kind of gloss over, don't look at, but I feel it's my responsibility as a reporter to try to tell the news and try to tell both sides of it. That's a little bit about me and why I got into this business.
Well, you know, Larry, I truly appreciate everything that you have done. And like I said, we've had you at a number of our workshops when we first got the Parents Coaching Parents Network up and running, and definitely you came out and supported. And one thing that you always said, you know, when you talked about the media side of things and you gave the parents some insight on what the media can do for you, you know, I appreciate the way you guide our young men through a conversation, you know, because I've seen some reporters that just throw you underneath the bus. If you sound illiterate, you're gonna be printed illiterate. You know, I look at that and just shake my head like, wow, really? You know, but I like the way that you guide our young men and young ladies through various conversations. And at the same time, give them a little education on, you know, just being interviewed. Hey, continue to do what you do, and we're going to move forward again. Let me give that number out. If you want to call in, join in on the conversation, give us a call at 917-889-8095. Hit option 1, and that will bring you into our conversation. That let us know that there's someone out there that wants to join this conversation. Well, Larry, we're going to go straight into the story.
All right.
You know, you put together this story, and I see it, and it came out May 20th of 2015. It says, football, the high school transfer game heats up. Okay. First of all, what made you come up, you know, with that story? You know, what drew your attention to that particular story?
Well, for me, it was like it was being talked about. And one of the things, if you want to be relevant as a reporter or as a writer or anybody in the media, you want to talk about things that everybody else is talking about. And last year, and let me first start off by saying this is just not football. This is every sport. I mean, in basketball alone, there were 30 kids from a year ago who were playing on different teams. In basketball, and it goes on in baseball, it goes on in field hockey, football, soccer, but football is the main sport. And so what I saw last year, I knew last year we had probably close to 30 kids who transferred just last season alone. This season, 2014 started, January came, and I heard about all these transfers going on, and I'm thinking, wow, these kids, everybody's leaving, what's going on? And the more and more as I look into it and talking to different coaches were raising, you know, like, you know, what's going on? And to me, it became a story. I felt like it was something that people were talking about it, so I wanted to try to get everybody involved. And I tried to, in doing a story, I talked to a lot of the coaches who felt that it was unfair, as well as those coaches who were being, you know, the finger being pointed at them to let them talk. I also tried to talk to all the athletes. And many of the athletes, most of them actually didn't want to, you know, they basically said it was a personal reason why they did it, a family reason why they decided to transfer. But I felt it was a story that everybody else was talking about it, and I felt like instead of just saying who's transferring to what school, let's find out why these kids are transferring, but also get a point of view from the coaches. I also had some comments from the senior coordinator from the Norfolk Public Schools. I had called also Virginia Beach, Chesapeake, Suffolk to get their thoughts about it. And I also called the Virginia High School League to get their thoughts about it. And the day that the story ran, or I should say 2 days before the story ran, I actually talked to somebody from the Virginia High School League. They just passed a ruling within that week. So it's a story that took a lot of time. I mean, I'm also busy covering a lot of different things at the same time, but I fit this thing in. It probably took over 6 weeks of reporting and, you know, extra reporting because I wanted to make sure that no voice was left out. And it was a voice, I mean, it was a story that hit right on time. You know, as one of the things that Steve Sutler, he's in charge of the Norfolk Public Schools, he said that, you know, hey, yeah, people are transferring. This goes back to the 1960s, people are transferring, but not at this rate. And a lot of the coaches were up in arms about it, saying this has become, they don't want to say epidemic, but it was getting out of hand. And what's being done about it? You know, I hear both sides. I'm for the parents who say, you know what, I want to send my kid to the best school and have the best possibility to get a scholarship. But what people don't realize as well is in order to transfer, you're not supposed to be transferring for academic, I mean, I'm sorry, for athletic reasons. It's supposed to be academics only. So then you have the people who on the other side saying, well, that's not fair. Why should these kids be able to transfer for this reason when I'm just trying to get my son a better opportunity to be able to go to college or my daughter to go to a certain specific school that I know is going to get them looked at to be able to get a scholarship? And so I just started then going in and went through, like I said, it took me about a good 6 weeks of interviewing probably more than 30 people. And those who got in my story were the ones that I thought had the biggest impact. And I just feel like it was a story that everybody else was talking about, and I felt like it was a story that needed to be written. And based on the number of responses we got, it got over 6,000 hits. It was one of the top stories throughout that whole week. People were still talking to me about it. I was at a track meet yesterday, and people were still talking to me about the story. So evidently, it was a story that needed to be written, and I hope I did it justice. But, you know, it continue to go on. I'm just curious to see what's going to happen in the future.
You know, brother, you definitely did it justice. It caught my attention, and immediately as I seen it, it took me a minute to get around to you, but I said, okay, we got to talk about this. We got to bring this on the air because this is something that definitely has some feet underneath it, and it's doing some movement. You know,
right.
And it's funny because as you reported it on the 20th, I'm not sure if you're aware that on the 17th, Outside the Lines did something on it on ESPN.
Oh, no, I did not. Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, that's Sunday. I caught something on Outside the Lines, and I had a piece of that podcast that I was going to play, but again, I can't get to my switchboard the right way, but they had a little piece that they were talking about on the very same thing,
Wow.
And they talked about it on the lines of, well, I'll put it like this. They talked about not as much transferring. They talked about reclassifying and redshirting
at high school
and middle school level, which basically – kind of sort of that the two are intertwined somehow. Because
a
lot of these kids that are transferring are also reclassifying. You know.
But the ones that I wrote about weren't the ones that were reclassifying, but I actually wrote a story about that as well. I wrote a story on that I believe it was January about kids transferring and how actually, it wasn't January. It was last year. It was last year during the basketball season where I talked about kids who were reclassifying, and people, again, were up in arms about is it fair or is it not fair? And, you know, once again, it got people from both sides, which was interesting because, like I said, I can see both sides of the story. But and what ended up happening after I wrote that story was the TCS came over the route that says beginning July 1st, athletes can't reclassify the TCS anymore. After July 1st, that's done. You won't be able to do it. So I imagine because of that ruling, and I'm not saying that my story had anything to do with it, but after July 1st, I think you're going to see a lot of kids who want to reclassify go to the Metro Conference, specifically to Atlantic Shores. And in Atlantic Shores, they've already got two transfers that I know of who have come in there to reclassify because they don't have that reclassifying rule. But the athletes I wrote about in the story that ran last month, none of those athletes reclassified. They just went to different schools. They just said, you know, some of them were juniors, some of them were seniors. They just went to another school, and they'll play immediately.
Now, in doing this transfer, and you and I may have a different thought, but what are some of the reasons for a lot of these young men. Well, you know what? I'm not even going to say the young men, because in the end, the ultimate goal or the ultimate movement behind it comes from the parents, not necessarily just the children, because none of these young men that's playing these games, that's involved in these sports, have an apartment, have their own house, so a lot of that is done, with the blessings of the parents. So right. What are a lot of the parents saying, or the coaches are saying that the parents have said, reason mm-hmm. for these immediately gold rush, this gold rush that we got going on here?
I like that. That's good. That gold rush. This is basically it. And I know, Mike, you have a son that plays in the NBA. Here's what they said. Almost 99% of the people said, I want to give my son or daughter a better chance to get a scholarship. That's what it comes down to. And if that means, as one parent said, said, well, look, if he's that good, he can be seen anywhere he goes. True, but if that athlete ends up going to a school that's real well-known in football, that has success in football, that's getting a lot of kids into college because of their football success, some of the parents are thinking, my kid only has two scholarships. Let me take him to this other school, whether it be whatever sport that's good at, and let's see if he can get more scholarships.
It's funny that you say that, Larry. It's funny that you say that, and I try to impress this upon parents as much as possible. And correct me if I'm wrong, or correct me if you came across something that's different. As I look at this and look at the logic and the mentality behind this, and parents make that statement, I'm trying to get my child as much opportunity to get a scholarship as possible. Okay, we know for a fact, or I know for a fact, or I've seen it firsthand, the high school is not where the child gets the most visibility. Your
exactly.
main exposure is not coming from the high school program. Parents, yes, I said it. I said it, and I want to say it again. The main exposure does not come from the high school program. It's all of your outside summer interaction, spring interaction. If you're talking about a combine, if you're talking about
right.
an evaluation camp or clinic, something like that, that's where you're getting the bulk of that exposure for
right.
someone to even come out to say, oh, let me go over to high school X or high school Y and take a look at this young man actually on the field in his own setting. So
right.
these parents are coming out with this, well, I want him to get a look. I think he has more potential. I'm going to give him some time to get out here. We're chasing this pipe dream, and I said the gold rush, because I think they're all chasing, or we can get a state title.
Right.
Okay. Well, how many people that came off the last state title team? Matter of fact, who had the last state title? Was it North?
Let me see. In what sport?
Football.
Football will be Ocean Lakes and Lake Taylor. Ocean Lakes and Lake Taylor,
okay.
Right.
Okay. Now, how many of them young men went to school?
For Lake Taylor, I believe the only ones that I know of right now is I know that Quilly went down to East Carolina, and that, in terms of Division I, that might be it right now that I'm thinking of. I think I know they've got about five or six of them that could possibly go, but here we are right now. This is May, and I don't know. Yeah, they are not at Division I schools. Ocean Lakes, on the other hand, Ocean Lakes got about, I want to say probably about 8-9 kids that are probably going to Division I. But as you said too, going to a school because you want to take college and guarantee you're going to get a scholarship. The combines are the biggest thing now. I mean, you go to these combines, that's where they are. That's where they know they can go to those combines and see the kids they want to see. See how they do the eye test. Can they jump? Can they run? Can they lift? They get to see it right there. You can't see it during a football game a lot of times.
That's so true.
Yeah.
And parents, same thing applies for basketball. The same thing applies for basketball. Your showcases, your AAU summertime, that big time period during July when AAU is hot and heavy and everything is going on. Evaluation, knowing your evaluation time period, knowing when the coaches are out there. Who's out there during the month of June? Nobody. So why are you going to events? You know, but it's not jumping from high school to high school. You know, that part right there in itself seems to be what we believe is the right idea.
And I'm
gonna be the first one to throw it out there. That young man by the name of Mike Scott, during the time period that he was in high school, you know how many folks came over to me and said, "Man, I'll let you use my address. Bring them all over here with us." I'm talking about from Norfolk to Portsmouth to other folks in Chesapeake. Bring them on over here with us. That guy don't know what he's doing anyway, so you might as well just bring them on over here. I even had a couple coaches from the other side of the water. But no, he stayed right there where he was at. He did what he had to do. But at the same time, I utilized every avenue that we had. Every opportunity to get exposure, whether or not he's going to an evaluation camp or clinic, or whether or not he's going to a showcase or something like that, to get him out there. You know, I tell parents all the time, parents, please understand, no, this is the truth. I have no reason to lie to you. I'm not getting anything out of it. But know this, he was actually receiving correspondence from schools stepping on the varsity floor for the very first time.
Wow.
He had attended five-star. He had attended prep all-star down at they had one down at Wake Forest. He had attended five-star out of Hampton, Sydney. And shortly after he stepped on the varsity floor for the first time to play them two games, the end of his sophomore year, we went down to Wake Forest again to Bob Gibbons' all-star evaluation camp. And by the time the summer rolled around, they knew that he was out there. You know, they weren't looking at him as a major product, but they knew he was out there. And there were enough schools that were sending information to the house.
I'm glad you said that, Mike, because that's so important. But what do you say to it? Because you did it, and that's the way it should be done. But what do you do about the parent who says, "I can't send my kid to these combines"? What would you tell them? Because and that's been a lot of things as well. The reason why kids transfer is they say, "I can't afford to send my kids to all these different camps here and there to be out there and this combine and that combine. We don't have that kind of money." So they think that instead of doing that, that's when they decide, you know what, I'm going to send them to this school or that school. What do you tell a parent like that who might not have the resources or the know-how to be able to get to these different combines where that's where it's all being taken, you know, all this stuff is being taken care of? How do you help them? What would you say to them?
Well, I'm going to put it out here, and I'm going to put it out here firsthand right here on the Parents Coaching Parents Network. That is one of the main reasons why the Coaching Parents Network exists.
Mm-hmm.
We are working towards building a scholarship bank so that we can assist parents. We're not going to totally fund the whole thing for you and just let you sit back and you reap the benefits. No, we're working towards being able to assist parents into getting to some of these events or assist that young man or young lady into getting to some of these events. You know, when you talk about switching and going to a different high school, and if that high school doesn't have a premier player that some college coach already knows about, that he's coming to see, what makes you think all of a sudden now he's going to come to that high school, parents?
right.
You know? But going back to answering your question, what do you do when they can't make it to these different events? There are so many events out there. So many events. There are events that happen at Bethel High School. Parents, you got to sacrifice at some point in time and maybe take off an hour or two. Take your child out there. even if you can't get them out there, find somebody else that's going out there, let your child ride with that person, and then from there, hey, follow up. Follow up with that event. Follow up with that event planner. Follow up with somebody to say, hey, my son was out there. What's your thoughts on him? You know, you have a number of organizations out here. You have, you know, folks that's writing about our kids all the time. You know, prime example, you got 757teams.com. Great, great resource to find out what's going on with our kids. You know, you have Recruit 757. You have the best of 757. You have all these different, you have, what's that, Vantage Hoops. You have Virginia Preps. You have everybody out here that's writing about our kids. And at some point in time, somebody can give you a small clue on where your child is on the radar. Because those are the folks that need to see your child firsthand. Those are the folks that's writing about them, that's drawing, help you draw attention to your child as you're attempting to market your child and get the best out of the situation. I hope I kind of touched on that.
Yeah. And, Mike, and I want one thing you brought up as well about this different sacrifices. A lot of parents think that because we write about your kid, that that's going to get them a scholarship. That doesn't do nothing for them. I mean, you ain't going to be written about, but like you said, they got to make those sacrifices and go to these different combines and get their name out. Just because I write your name in it, I've written stories about probably over 900 kids this year. Of the 900, probably only about 30% are going to get a scholarship. So it's not, you know, people think, oh, if you write about my son, they'll get a scholarship. No, that doesn't do it either. You got to have it all. And one of the things that you always push as well is you got to have the grades as well. Not 50% of the kids who aren't going to be going to college next year, and I'll even say higher than that. I'll say 60 to 70% of the kids who are seniors right now who don't know where they're going to school right now is not because of so much what they didn't do on the court, on the track, on the football field. It's because they don't have the grades to go. They didn't do what they were supposed to do in terms of getting the core classes. They didn't do the SAT or maybe not even taking the SAT yet. I know a fact of a couple of athletes who were trying to take the SAT this weekend. Here we are, they're seniors. Mike, this is June. And they were taking the SAT yesterday.
Exactly. I know a few that was taking the SAT yesterday. I know a few. I've seen them pull up in the parking lot. As I was driving past various little places, I've seen them pulling up in the parking lot. And, you know, hey, if you're taking it for your third, fourth, fifth time, and you're trying to increase your score, okay. At least you already have something on paper.
Right.
If you're taking it for that very first time, I recommend that you go back to the drawing board.
Yeah.
You go back to the drawing board. Let's get back to this transfer conversation.
Yeah.
I see I got a number of callers on the line. Please, folks, if you want to join the conversation, hit option one, and most of you that's listening in, I know you personally. So if you're hitting option one and it's not getting through to me, please let me know that you're out there. Send me a text message or something, and I'll make sure I plug your phone number right on into the conversation. Give us a call, 917-889-8095, 917-889-8095. Let's get back to this transfer thing, Larry. You know, when you spoke to a number of coaches, what was their biggest concerns?
I think their biggest concerns is actually three different things. One is, and I agree with them, there's no loyalty no more. There's no loyalty with players. And that can go both ways because a lot of the parents might think there's no loyalty with the coaches, but a lot of the coaches feel, you know, I've helped send these kids to camps. I've helped your student, your son's daughter, to get prepared academically. I've helped mold this kid into the running back or defensive back or linebacker that he is. And then you get to your senior year and you decide you don't want to play for me no more. Now, one coach told me, hey, look, you don't want to play for me, fine, go somewhere else. Well, I don't want you on the team. But there's still that thing where I've helped this kid raise, you know, get him to the point where he is. The parent had all the trust in the world to see this coach raise, help develop this athlete. And then he just leaves junior, senior year, just says, I'm gone. And then the worst part about it, from a lot of the coaches, was they don't even find out from the kid. My thing was, if I coached a kid and he decided he wanted to transfer, if he came to me with a parent and met me face to face and said, "Look, coach, I'm going to the school," I can respect that. But the majority of the time, these kids are doing it on the fly. Coaches even go to the kid and say, "I understand you're leaving." And the kid says, "Oh, no, I'm not leaving. And then they turn around 2 weeks later and they're gone. Don't say anything. That's kind of cowardly. I mean, if you're going to be a man about it, be a man about it. Say, "I'm leaving, coach." "Yeah, I don't like the way you run your system. I'm leaving." So that was a real big complaint for some of the coaches. And then, you know, of course, the other thing is going to be when one of the coaches in particular that I talk about, he lost his starting quarterback, running back, wide receiver, offensive lineman. Another coach said that team actually had a good chance to be a competitive team this year. So if you're sitting there and you're thinking the 2014 season ends and you're feeling pretty confident, you know what, I've helped put this together. Me and my coaching staff have helped build this program. Again, build this program. And now we look like, you know what, we're going to have a chance to compete. And then out of nowhere, you get the rug pulled underneath you, and next thing you know, all your players are leaving. Not only does that affect the coach, not only does that affect, you know, the assistant coach is trying to put a game plan together, but think about those athletes who are still at that school. That's a story that I'm going to try to work on as well, is what happens to the rest of those teams? The team, you've been coming up as freshmen, sophomores, and juniors, building for that prize to win that title, that district title, conference title, state title, whatever it is. And then the main component that you got to then go into camps and sweat blood and tears all year round working to get that goal, and they leave. That leaves those guys thinking, "Dang, what happened?" And that's the story I want to write, is how do those kids feel? I mean, yeah, a lot of those kids still keep in touch with those guys who have left, but there's got to be some kind of like, you know what? Wow, man, you just left us. You didn't even, you know, nothing. Now you're at somewhere else, a better school that you can win, when you could have did it here with our team. So a lot of those kids, I hope they have a lot of them talk to me. I wonder how they feel. You work that hard to build something, and then you just leave, and now we got to try to find the pieces to try to build it back up. So that was one of the things a lot of coaches said, is one, it's just the loyalty factor. Two is how it affects the rest of the team as well.
Exactly. You know, and something that you just said, and then I think we got a guest that a caller that wants to join the conversation. Something that you just said, when you got these young men that's transferring their junior and senior year, your senior year, you're going to transfer, and you think you automatically going to get into the system. You're automatically going to bump somebody out of their place, and you're going to fill in that slot just that quick. You know, and you hadn't been a really and truly a standout at your own school, but now you're going to go somewhere else and join somebody else's school. Let's go to the first call. I think we got a call on there. Welcome, call to the Parents Coach of Parents Network. Area code 757, first three numbers is 613.
Yeah, this is Coach Maybe from Indian River High School.
What's going on, Coach?
Hey,
what's up, bro?
Hey, how's it going? Hey, this is one of my first times getting on, because Sundays I'm usually watching basketball or somewhere, but I was driving down the road and I was listening to you guys, and I finally got home. I'm very familiar with the transfers on both ends, watching Coach Cadillac lose some players that he spent many hours in the gym with. And I take it upon this. I'm one of those ones, when I first took the job in 2004 and I left T.C. Williams, I was a product of receiving transfers when we was at Nance River High School.
Mm-hmm.
And it all boils down to what you all are talking about scholarships. It's kind of like that's our vision, but it's kind of like a smaller vision that exists that we don't have any idea. Kids just want to win.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
they sometimes get caught up in, they want to win, but they also believe if they're winning, then they get an exposure. And I'm just
mm-hmm.
I'm gonna make this quick. From 1992 to 1995 at the AA level to 96 at the AA level, Nance River High School couldn't be touched. And all those guys that we had on the team, from Howard Fry, who went to Colorado, to Antoine Willie, who eventually got to VCU, to a kid named Montori Valentine, who made us go. We played with Christopher Newport for a little while. There was a lot of intricate parts that thought they were going to get scholarships, but at the end of the day, it still was those three mainstay kids that got the scholarship. Maurice Fofana was our starting point guard, who's actually now the girls coach at Kings Fork High School. He had unbelievable point guard skills, but the academic part was an issue. And then someone wanting to take him as a point guard, you know, they started dissecting what he could not do from what he could do. And when I got to T.C. Williams, of course, I was the only public school in that area. So all the private schools from Gonzaga to St. Stephen's, Archbishop Carroll, I can go on. It was really hard to keep your eighth graders and ninth graders. I ended up getting a kid named Darian Towns, who in his 10th grade year, he barely committed to Georgetown. And the next year he was at Archbishop Carroll because academically I was getting on him about his books, and he transferred, and he ended up not going as far as he goes. So I can keep going on with this, and I ask the question, Terry Kirby, people like that that didn't transfer, they made it to the pinnacle of their sport. If you look at Deep Creek back in the day when I first got down here, they were loaded with about 4 to 5 Division I players for the next, I would say, 5 to 6 years from Corey Law and on. And then they just started transferring for, if it was ego reasons or whatever it was, but, I mean, it's their parents' right, but they saw that they were going to have a better option of whatever was going to happen. To be honest, I thought those kids, when I saw them when they were young, they have gone as far as I think they would have gone if they had stayed at Deep Creek, or maybe they're going further. You know, if you, God gives each one of us different talents, and he makes some of us special. I mean, if it was that easy just by transferring, then we would have a bunch of Michael Jordans, but we don't have a bunch of Michael Jordans, you know. And so I think what happens with the kids transferring, they have to learn a new program, a new system. It's easy to say, I'm going to go play beside this guy and we're going to win. But then all of a sudden it gets into learn a different system, how just the whole school setting is. And what I found out, most of the kids that transfer from us, every homecoming, they were at our school. When school was out, they were at our school. So you can see their social setting was still where they had been. And then once their careers was over in high school, a lot of them kind of still went to the same level that they would have gone. It's kind of get masked like, oh, because they went there, they won. And the parents not knowing that, you know, once the kids leave high school, they don't know what happens to them after that. They don't keep up with it. It's the next group, which we're the kind of coaches that keep up with it. And you see some of those kids who didn't make it anywhere after transferring and playing for that school for a little while. And I just think if we don't build our men, and I have to stay with the men, it doesn't build our men to know how to deal with adversity and conflict, because they feel like they can run. And then when they get older and they run into it on a campus with a college coach and they get on them, the first thing they say is, I'm going to transfer. If you see it, it's matriculating down. Even worse, college kids. As soon as the coach says, you don't start this year, they transfer to another school because they're like, yeah, I mean, it gets bigger and bigger. Well, I won't go pro if I got to stay here 2 or 3 years, so I got to leave and go play somewhere else. They're going to play me a lot of minutes. And, you know, it just keeps, the ball keeps rolling. And like I said, Frank LaSalle, when I got there, he was no Division I or Division II player. He was just tall. And he put in the work to get where he got. Joseph LaSalle, eighth grade, was a pungy little fella. He put in the work to get a Division II scholarship, the adventure plan that Ray Nuff making. And his was mental. I always knew he wasn't as hungry as Frank was. He had more skill set. He just wasn't as hungry as Frank was on the court. And, you know, it, like I said, it's been going on since the beginning of time. Antonio Johnson, I think, who left and went and played at Selma. He played for Indian River. We had the boy who went to Costa Christian play for a little while, and then he went to Radford, then he went to Union, then he went to Norfolk State. You know, it's just like they're running for something that's really not there besides putting that work. Put in the work, do your books, and all of it will work out, and you'll go to the level you're supposed to go to, I believe.
Mm-hmm. And, Coach, let me ask you this. This is Larry Obama. And let me ask you this. I know you talked about the kids transferring. Do you think it's more the fault of the parent pushing the kid further than what the kid would want? Because like you said, you have kids who will transfer and will still come back and hang out with the same kids they were with. Do you think it's the parents who are pushing them, saying, oh, you can be bigger, you can be better, and then they start believing it and want to leave? Or do you think it's – I just wonder if it's more just the parents pushing their children more than they need to.
I would say it's a desire of the parents to make their child totally happy at every second. It's not really the parent, all the time. It's just parents who don't say no. So if the kid comes home with this idea and says, I don't want to play for him no more. He made me run today. I used to say this. When I was playing in high school, and I'll never forget, my JV coach was Mr. Breland, and he was under Coach Mayfield. And I was joking around at the little cage we had, and he told me to go home. So I got home. My mother was like, what are you doing home early? I said, Coach threw me out. And her reply was, what did you do? But actually now, if that had happened, I've heard parents say, for what? The first thing is, they say, for what? So once they say, for what, the kid now, how many kids you know tell the story exactly how it happened when you took the cookie out the cookie jar? You know, the lid was off already, and so I took the cookie out, you know. So they kind of give a little mirage of what happened. So then the parent comes and wants to talk to the coach and say, my son said you did this. Now the communication has a problem because the coach now thinks, I can't coach this kid the same way. I can't show him love by being tough. I've got to be passive. Now the coach feels a certain kind of way about the kid because he's still human. So every time that kid makes a mistake, it gets tougher. Finally, the parent, like, he's not going to give him a chance or he doesn't like him. They use that term instead of he wants him to listen to him at that school. Just like you as a parent, if you tell your child to say his prayers, you're not going to let a child go to school and he said, and the teacher says, you don't have to say your prayers, you go home. Then he comes back later and says, the teacher said, I don't have to say my prayers. And then you go, what? What teacher would tell you that? So it's the same thing in the gym. If the coach, at that time, you're his kid. If he says he wants you to lift weights to get bigger and you say, I don't want to lift, and he says, okay, well, then you're not going to practice today. And then you go home and say that, well, he's going somewhere else. You can't make him lift. You see what I'm saying? The parents don't work with the coaches as much as they used to. And so they get someone out there that tells them what they want to hear. And if they get them to tell them what they want to hear and that makes that kid happy, they tend to transfer because it becomes easier. And then you run into the wall when it goes somewhere else and it's not easier. You know, you get a coach with John Thompson back in the day or Chaney. You know, so you had to be a certain kind of animal to deal with, had some tough skin to deal with them, but he made them all productive citizens. You know, it wasn't about just pro NBA. So I don't know. I really don't know the whole answer to that. But, yeah, it's parents trying to make their child happy. We had a kid this year. He's been to 3 schools in 3 years, and he'll probably be at his 4th school after this year. And I don't know how that's going to benefit him, but as soon as he doesn't get his way, that's the option.
Right. Well, and the parents support it.
Yes. Yeah, no doubt about it.
The parents will support it. Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know, gentlemen, and you know, I think the parents got the whole concept and the whole program wrong, and I'm going to be the first one to call them out. And really and truly, if I offend someone, I apologize, but I'm going to be the first one to call you out and let you know that you got the program wrong. You know, looking out for the best interest of your child is the person that's really going to put that work in, the person that's really going to tell your child no when it's time to tell them no and tell them at the same time, hey, you did a good job today. But to go there and let somebody pacify them and then we as parents turn around and say, oh, he said what to you? Well, we're moving him out of there. What are you really doing to your child? You're setting your child up for the biggest failure ever because at the end of the day, he's going to get a rude awakening, a hard slap in the face from something called society that's going to knock him out because they ain't going to be playing with it. There ain't going to be no more options on the table. And that pacifying and collaring and all that other kind of stuff, mama be mama at home. Let the man be the man once he get out there you know, in the classroom and, you know, when he has to deal with coaches, okay, let him be himself. If he needs some guidance or if he needs some adult intervention for us to step in as parents, okay, step in, teach him what he needs to do, how to deal with different situations, but don't give him the option of running and checking out every time he wants to. You brought up a great point there, Coach. There's something wrong with society when we start doing that to our children.
Yeah, that's just my take on it. But like I said, sometimes you can be with a bad coach, you know, because the spin on it is, and I'm sure Larry hears it, a lot of people that want to coach can't coach because of the stipulations of the system. And so community impression is that guy is only the coach because he has a degree. And so if a parent sits there and they watch the team losing, those people who want to coach can now, you know, whisper in their ear, he's not going to do nothing over here, he's not going to win here, because they haven't done what they're supposed to do to get, you know, the degree. And all the best coaches are not the ones with the degrees, and all of the worst coaches are not ones without one. I do know that. So, so you have all of them, you know, you're trying to get some of them in your system to help with your program, but when you get that one that has that desire to be the head, they will entrench their personality by going through kids and parents and just, let's just say if Johnny doesn't start, they'd be like, see, he's not using him right. That's the word they use. So of course, a mother who had this child out of her womb, who's been going to rec games, small league games, and he always plays, and as the pool gets smaller, I mean, as the pool gets bigger, but the water gets smaller, you know what I'm saying, there's more fish to choose from, and then everybody can't get to swim. And all of a sudden, they go, see, they need to go here and play with so-and-so. And a lot of times, the mothers, they listen to them, like, okay, and then they go over there, and then they find out it was no different. And so the kid thought it was going to be easier, and then they found out they ran into a coach with the same lingo as they had. I know Mr. Scott's got to be familiar with this. I always have to use this year of 2009. Mike Bynum, my buddy, little young Mike Bynum. I had a sophomore group of kids. Frank Asell had just graduated, and a couple of kids transferred over because of Frank and what he had done. And they knew it was going in senior year, and they came over in the ninth grade, and I guess they thought that they were going to be on varsity. And they would, like I heard you say that earlier, they would get noticed by playing with this young man. Where the kid ended up, we kept him on JV, as well as we kept Mike on JV. And I remember Mike going, Coach, I want to be on varsity with some of the other ninth graders on varsity. I was like, nah, because I have a point guard that is two grades ahead. He's a little more familiar. I want you to learn the game, but you'll be there by next year. So Mike trusted me. He did what he was supposed to do, 10th grade year. He started on our varsity because that kid that I had as a junior transferred and went over to Smith. Mike Bynum ended up learning the game. By Mike's junior year, three of the mainstay kids that was part of that 10th grade group that was supposed to help us win, they left. And they went to various other schools because the school had won the state title a year or 2 years ago. So I just watched. I remember tracking this down and said, I'm going to watch the growth of them over the growth of Mike. Mike ended up playing with Boo Williams' traveling team for Frankie Chapman. Then he ended up first he played with Robert, then he played with Frankie Chapman. And he was a younger senior, so that was his last year. And then he ended up, you know, going to Virginia State playing, where those other kids that graduated at the same time, all those ones that left, Mike and Quentin Spader were the only two that went to school to play basketball. And if I'm not correct, Mike had the best career out of his college career. He made all CIAA. And so I said, it didn't work for those kids. One kid that transferred, I actually had to make a phone call for him to get a tryout at Virginia State because he had no offers after he left Booker T. And the coach called me and said, Coach, we can't use that kid. He has no game. And I've actually met his step there years later. He was like, the worst thing he did was take him out of there. But you never know, because sometimes it does work. So I don't know. I don't know when it's the right time to transfer him, but it's a wrong time to transfer him for the wrong reasons. That's all I say.
Exactly. And you know, I stressed the point earlier in the show, and I don't know if he was on with us at that time, Coach, but I stressed the point earlier at the show. Hey, the different coach, the different camps and clinics and evaluation events that they have going on around the country, that's where the meat and potatoes are at. It's not necessarily there at the high school program, because if you look at the number of high schools, and one just in your area, wherever you're calling from around the country, if you look at the number of high schools in your area,
you probably have, I'm going to use this area here as an example. I know we have well over, what you say, about 25, 30 high schools in this area, private and public. What's that, Larry?
45, just on the south side, doesn't even include the peninsula.
45 high schools. 45 high schools. And if you're talking about 45 high schools, now let's do some multiplication real quick. 45 high schools with a minimum on a football squad about 60 kids. Really? Now, how's a college coach going to get out and evaluate all those kids in a given weekend, 2-3 days, or whatever he got to get out to hit this area? He's not. Let's reduce the numbers. Let's look at a basketball program. On your average basketball program, if we're talking about JV and varsity, how many kids we talking about, Coach?
We talk about 30 kids.
30 kids, JV and varsity, 45 schools. You do the math, parents. You do the math. Realizing that, again, how is a college coach going to evaluate those kids, that amount, that number, in a short time period that he's in your area? That's why I said, folks, utilize the option of making it to the camps and clinics, and if he sees you while you're out there and you draw his attention and you get that interest, now he's going to come to your school to see your setting, to see how you do in your setting, and then you're able to go from there. But to do all this jumping ship, chasing the gold rock, chasing the ring, playing on a winning team, okay, if you want to play on a winning team, then get out there and make you and your teammates put in some extra work, some extra hustle, and make your team a winning team.
Hey, I don't want to use it as a plug, but what is the kid that played for Nance River that ended up going to Citadel? Not Vaughn. He came after him a few years ago. I can't believe I forgot his name. I can see his name, but he's at the Citadel. But I would never forget him and the kid that also the big kid that I think he went to Presbyterian. But they used to come to our camp, the Under the Radar Exposure Showcase. And the reason why Terrence Green and I chose that name, and you can go to the website one day and look at Radar B-Ball and look at who has attended, and just scroll on the side and look at some of the names. The ones that used to come free was Briante Weber, Desmond Lee, Devontae Gardner, Copeland. And if you think about that, the ones that we said going, that were able to come free because we knew they were Division I players, and we knew we wanted them at our camp because they got the Division I coaches to come. The negative about doing an exposure camp like that was the NCAA requirements for it required so much it was not cost effective. Because every coach that did, he had to go to LexisNexis to fill it out. That cost him $40 to be registered. It cost us so much for the database. You had to put in every kid's name. So it was very tedious. You had to have a big team to get it going. So we ended up watering it down to Division II because in Division III because we just could call it under radar and we had to do all the paperwork. But still, when we had those Division I type players, we let them come. But that kid in the 10th grade, I thought he was one of the worst basketball players Nassau River had, and we blew them out. He came to that camp, and after that camp, playing against those better players, just what you said, he went and put in work with his dad. He realized what he had to do. He couldn't blame on nobody else because in those camps, you don't have to run plays. You don't have a certain set of a player that we might think is a better scorer than another. We didn't even know that kid could play. He exposed some things in his game that he didn't know he had, and that's why we call it exposure, because you can get exposed both ways. You can get seen, or you can get exposed that you cannot play. And that's why we chose that name. And that kid put in the work for the next 2 years, and he got him a Division I scholarship to Citadel. So
Ashton Moore.
That's what
Ashton
it's about.
Moore.
Ashton Moore, you got
yes.
it. Thank you, my
yep.
friend.
Yeah, and the other
Moore.
One, the other kid, the other one that was that went to Presbyterian was Ed Drew.
That's correct, Ed Drew.
Yes.
That's right. That is the one. They came and they just kept coming to camp and they kept working and they played themselves into getting a scholarship by putting in the work. And I think that's what has happened now. People think, well, I'll just run on this AAU team. I mean, I wish we had an AAU coach up here. You ask how many AAU coaches that lose their players after two tournaments. They'll have a team, they'll lose, they'll talk to somebody else because, you know, the kids have social media that we are not even privy to. Well, we're privy to it, but we don't have time to be on it. That's their time. That's what they do, you know.
Yeah.
So they'll hit them and be like, man, our team lost again. They'll be like, come and play for whatever team, coach, maybe the AAU team, and they'll be like, we need another shooting guard. That kid will drop that team and join that other team, and then the next tournament, that coach wouldn't even know that that kid is gone until he play against him. He was like, oh, my goodness. And so that's what I mean about avoiding the work and looking for a shortcut that doesn't exist. Because no matter where you go, Division I, Division II, Division III, NAIA, JUCO, there is no coach that I know that coaches that does not want you to improve. So you have to put in work to improve. You can't just show up and play.
That's so true. So true. So true. And, you know, that's why I don't understand, going back to our original conversation, understand the whole thing about the transfer, you know, and doing that and then trying to prepare to wrap this up. You know, that's been the puzzling part for me with the parents. And if your child has the desire to play that bad and he wants to be on a winning team, than the team that he's on, you know, do like they talk about these pro guys are doing. Make other folks around you better. If you got a guard that you know he's suspect in handling the ball, make him work on the ball a little bit more instead of getting up, jumping ship, because you're taking a senior out of his school into another school, his senior year, you're running the risk of seeing a whole lot of bench action if you're not a true standout. I mean, if you're a true standout, guess what? Then you should have stayed at the school you were at. You know, gentlemen, I thank y'all for calling in this evening. I really appreciate you chiming in, Coach Mabry. I've been trying to get you on for about 3 years now, but you've been ducking it, so I finally caught you. But that's all right. That's all right.
Hey. You got me now. Sunday evenings around this time, you got me. I can slow it down.
Hey, much love, brother. Much love. We appreciate that. And, you know, and I know you got some insight because, you know, you've been out there, man, and you've seen many kids come along and develop, and you're one of them type cats that love working with the young men, and I appreciate everything that you do out there as well.
I appreciate you having this vehicle, and Larry Obama is one of the best reporters out there, and I'll say that there's no bias to it. You know, he really has the heartbeat for the kids in this area, and people need to understand that.
Thank you, Coach. I appreciate that.
So much.
Okay, Larry, we're going to give you the closing words here.
Well, I just, you know, I think you guys, we said it all in terms of, you know, the pluses and the minuses about the transfer that's going on. And I just hope that parents and their children really sit down and see the real reason about why they're doing it. Can it still be done at the school? Like you said, Coach, you're not going to get no fast fixes. And I think that's what a lot of these parents think is going to happen. They think their child's going to go somewhere else and just immediately going to have all these offers. But as with anything in life, it takes time, it takes discipline, it takes a desire, it takes passion to be able to develop, and nothing's going to happen overnight.
That's so true. So true. And very well said there, my brother. And we truly appreciate you joining us. And folks, I'm just going to let y'all know, when I first started this show, Larry was my co-host, and we were rocking this thing. But they started pulling him in five or six different ways, and hopefully we can get him locked in here to come in from time to time and just share a little insight with us on different things that he has going on, and you know, the success and just some of the stories that he's putting out there for us to read and us to get a better understanding of what our children are involved in as we talk about this industry of sports. You know, it's a great thing, Larry, working with you again, talking with you.
Always sharing
your insight, brother. Hey, and you keep the fire burning, and we got you back anytime you need us.
Appreciate you, man. Appreciate you. Have you on again. I look forward to it.
All right, sir. Thank you. Have a good evening.
Okay. Take care.
All right. Well, folks, as I said, we prepare to wind down here. You've been listening to the Parents Coach and Parents Network here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, it's been another wonderful show, folks. And I hope you've had the opportunity to take some very good notes, write down some things that you may have had a question about. And if you have a question and we didn't get a chance to address those questions this evening here on the show, please, by all means, you can send us an email at pcphr@aol.com. Yes, I'm still using AOL. pcphr@aol.com. Or you could just post it on our Facebook page, Parents Coach and Parents Network. We're on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter as well as Peaks at PCP Network. But, folks, let me tell you something. It's been fun. It's been real. It's been real fun. I think we got another special guest that we may be able to bring in next week. I'm not going to share that until I dot my I's and cross my T's, but I'm working real hard and trying to get this brother on. He's done some wonderful things, and I think he's another guy about the community, and I'm really excited about connecting with him and getting him in on the conversation, because he's not only continue to do some things in the sporting industry, but he's doing it at a major level. I'm talking about at a college and a professional level. And I'm not talking about, you know, just still playing. I'm talking about out there, you know, interviewing, broadcasting, and things like that with some of the folks out there. So we'll get some more insight from another higher perspective, but just from a different perspective on how things go. But I'm not going to let that cat out of the bag until I'm sure that we're going to have a chance to get him on. But I just wanted to give you just a little something to wet your tidbits, wet your tongue there. And as always, we appreciate you listening in this evening. And to my brother out there that shouted me out, that just sent me the text message that's out there in that patrol car, all right, keep your head up, bro. We'll stay in touch. And I got your DVD. I just looked at it again tonight. All right? So, from the Parents Coach Parents Network, everybody have a good week. It's basically close to the last week of school for a lot of our kids. It's been fun. It's been real. It's been real fun. So until then, hey, you be safe out there.
Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on blogtalkradio.com/parentscoachingparents.